Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following is a GoPowerCat.com production.
It was not a good weekend for Kansas State basketball and the transfer portal. That's where we will start this show, but this show is about you. After that, you have to ask the questions. Or this is going to be a really, really short episode of the K-State Insiders. And welcome to it.
Welcome to the K-State Insiders, your Kansas State sports show, presented by Synergy Financial Partners. Now let's go to the rolling Flint Hills, home of the Cats and Dogs studio. Here's your host, Tim Fitzgerald.
It is Fitz and Gills and Big B. Glenn Kinley has something on his agenda today that doesn't involve us. I just think he doesn't want to be part of this, this bloodbath that is about to come, because this was a horrific weekend for the Kansas State basketball staff in the portal. They had two main guys that they had been pursuing for quite a while, and they offered. So, Ryan Gilbert, just give us a recap of what happened in the portal as people kind of load up their questions here, hopefully. And what does this mean for K-State hoops?
Well, yeah, I mean, you go back to a few weeks ago and you saw the signs all throughout Manhattan, you know, welcome home, Clifford, welcome home to battle as well. And so that those visits were a couple of weeks back now, but I think the bigger one that maybe hurts is battle. I know that Cliff going to Bama, that obviously stings, but that was kind of a wild recruitment. I'm not sure that many schools felt confident up until that very end, right? K-State liked its chances. I think the visit went well, from our understanding, but losing out on Clifford was what it was. Now, battle, that's the one that hurts. And
yep,
from our understanding, K-State felt really, really good about that one after the visit. And I don't think this staff really envisioned battle going anywhere else. I think that they thought they had locked him down. And then you see him go out and visit Gonzaga. Ultimately, that's where he chooses. And so that's the frustrating one. But you intertwine it when they commit on the same day. It's tough. And the overall, I think, frustrating part for fans is you look at what K-State had last year with Day-Day Ames and RJ Jones and Colbert, Kaluma. These guys could be on this roster if the staff wasn't going out and recruiting so many players in the portal, right? And they're missing out on those players. And so you're in a worse spot than you were to begin with. And so I'm sure we can dive into all of that, but not a good Sunday, not a good Cinco de Mayo for K-State fans following basketball recruiting. They go 0-2. Battle hurts a lot more than Clifford, in my opinion, but they both sting. But I know that this staff felt really confident after that battle visit. And obviously, and I don't want to say this was a blessing in disguise by any means, guys, but you know what? You know, they felt very good about battle. And he went out and tested the waters elsewhere. If someone's not going to be loyal to you the way you want them to be right from the get-go after their visit, maybe it's best that things didn't work out. But I know NIL has been a huge topic of discussion, especially with the rumors about with Cliff going to Bama, and he was, you know, rumored to have been offered $2 million, right? That there's no way that could have been Kansas State. There's no way that much money would be thrown at one player. And so I don't think the NIL is really a huge issue here. I know that's being thrown around a lot, but K-State's competitive in this market. There's schools out there that can compete that don't necessarily have the biggest NIL budgets, and they're still getting those guys. So it's something else. What exactly is it? I'm sure you guys could provide some insight on that as well, but nobody knows. But something's going on, obviously. So it's frustrating. I know that was a lot, but it's frustrating. It sucks. It stinks. And I think the most frustrating part about it is the players that were lost from last year's roster. And now you're left with, I don't want to say nothing, because K-State has got some guys in the portal, but you know, this staff thought they'd be in a better spot than they are right now.
Brian, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But this is broke. Something's not working.
No, definitely not working. Look, if you're going to live in the portal, then you got to win. It's just that simple. And Gills, you're right. You know, some of the guys that left, the only pushback that I would have is, did we replace those guys with maybe better guys, or at least equal to their talent? Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. K-State just doesn't have any bigs right now. I mean, look, that's the problem. I mean, you got to have guys that can go rebound the basketball, or a guy you can throw it in inside and go score, and they got to be able to get those guys. But if you're going to live in the portal, you got to win. And look, it almost seems like, okay, we set all of our attention and we set our sights on these two guys, but this staff is experienced enough and well-versed enough in this recruiting thing. If the guy doesn't sign before he leaves or commits before he leaves, the chances of you getting them go down. It's just, that's just the way that it works. And especially in this NIL, you know, day and age, you got to be able to get those guys locked in. And again, you mentioned, Gills, they came for visits early. Well, did you lock them down? Clearly you didn't. So while you can feel good about it, the longer, every day that they weren't signed with Kansas State or committed to Kansas State should have been a worry for that staff. Why haven't you committed? What's going on? And I'm not saying they weren't doing any of those things, because clearly they were, because these guys are workers. You know, they're workhorses. Now, maybe the methods aren't working. I don't know. But they're definitely doing their job. Maybe they got to get better. I don't know. Maybe they got to look somewhere else. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, where we stand today, it's not good, fellas. It's just not good.
It's a mess. There's no doubt about it. Caitlin has a question here. I hope I popped up the run. Is there another big guy in the portal that you feel okay about K-State getting, Ryan Gilbert?
Take any big guy.
Yeah,
right.
That's about where it's at right now, man.
Yeah, I know that they've got some guys in the works, but you know, things are so fluid, move so quickly with the portal. So, I mean, a lot of the talk is here about bigs, and you guys are right that K-State needs some bigs, but there's what, five open spots right now, I think. Like, I know they have a lot of guards, but when you lose RJ and Day-Day, well, we had that kind of preconceived notion in our minds that they only got to go after bigs. Well, after losing these guards and you don't get battle, you've got to go after anybody and everybody, not just big guys.
Yeah.
You're totally right. Let's see what else we got here.
I'll jump in real quick before we answer this question. Big B, you mentioned it. You know, Omar Ballo went to Indiana and he visited there. He had a visit lined up for K-State afterwards. Well, he committed to Indiana before K-State even had a chance. So when you get those guys to Manhattan, when they get their visits, you've got to lock them down. And, you know, to K-State's credit, you know, Brandon Housen from Nova and Bayfall from Arkansas, those guys visited and they committed. K-State didn't let them go anywhere else. But there are a handful of guys, Battle and Cliff and, you know, guys that visit. And, well, they weren't able to, like, Bob Miller is still uncommitted. Who knows where that one's going to go? That could be a nice answer to the previous question. So if you get a guy to Manhattan, you've got to do your darndest to get them to commit and sign that dotted line, whatever you got to do.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder if they revisit Bob Miller and Zach down here at the bottom of the question. I told you on Twitter to coddle me like a child, Tim. This isn't helping. Yeah, I would be a bad parent because I'm not doing any coddling today. I'm gonna answer questions. They have to revisit Baba and go after him. I don't understand. This is what is really baffling me. We're pretty well connected to this staff, and yet a lot of other people seem to think guys like Baba are going to be coming in battle, and it just never quite works out. The way we're hearing from either the staff or other people who are well connected, it's bizarre. I don't know what it is, Gills. It's truly strange how mixed messages seem to escape from this program so easily.
Yeah, and I don't know if the staff takes things the wrong way. That kind of leads us in here to this. I don't know if these players are like, hey, I am 100% committing to Kansas State. I'm going to get my graphic ready. Like, let's do this. And then they back out on it. I don't know if that's what's happening or if it's, if they're saying something flirtatious and K-State takes it as, oh, we got him, right? So I don't know what the conversations are like, but it's fair. You know, last offseason, you know, K-State, we, you guys remember the cat signals. Those have kind of gone away this offseason. But last year, was it for Toussaint or Wege? I can't remember. But it was one of those guys that they, you know, the signal was for, and then they just went and committed elsewhere, right? And so I don't know if they're taking stuff the wrong way. I don't know what's going on, but this is becoming sort of a trend with Battle. You know, we kind of heard that it was getting, if it wasn't locked in, it was going to be locked in very soon with Battle. And obviously something changed along the way there. But so, yeah, it's a Big 12 fan. Good point. Great point. I mean, I don't know if how and what will Coach Tang change. So this is an yearly occurrence. I don't know. I think Jerome Tang's looking at himself in the mirror and his whole staff so they can get the answer to that question as well. I don't know how you change that. Clearly, like we said, it's not NIL. I think K-State's got good facilities, a really good coaching staff. There's open minutes available on this roster. I don't know. I really don't know what the issue is here. I think K-State's shown that, you know, Keontae Johnson's in the NBA and Marquise Noel's flirting with, you know, the G League and stuff like that. They can get guys to the next level. You look at what happened at Baylor with Tang. Like, I don't know what's – I don't know the answer. There's a lot of stuff, and I don't know the true answer that – what's holding them back?
Okay, so here's my analogy. I was a great starting pitcher. I don't mean in baseball. I mean like in the bar conversation trying to recruit a young lady. Back in college, I was as good a starter as you'll ever find. I even did some middle relief for friends.
Whoa.
But I never did close it out. Rarely did I close it out. And then in would walk a buddy who was the closer. And they'd be gone. I was never the closer. I feel like they're missing a closer, someone to get them out of the bar, looking at everyone else and into your life. That was really weird. But that's all true. They got to close. And there seemed to be lacking something here. Here's an interesting, Caitlin comes back. This is very interesting. Do you think any of the guys who went in the portal from K-State might return? Now, I've learned some stuff about Day-Day. Those guys are shaking their heads. I don't think so. But I have now heard from three different sources connected to this whole recruiting process that Day-Day really didn't want to leave, but his family was advised by his agent that he should go find more money somewhere else. And the family decided Day-Day was transferring, even though Day-Day really kind of liked it here. Now, Big B, one of my problems with what's going on in college athletics right now is we all agree that the NCAA hasn't put in place very good rules for handling all this. And if every time they do, the courts knock it down. But one thing they haven't even bothered addressing is, what qualifies a college agent? Now, I think in the NFL, you've got to be recognized. You have to be approved.
Yep.
We've got agents stumbling around that might be friends of the family or just some guy named Bud who thinks it's cool to try to do this and negotiate deals for people. He might have a vo-tech education in electrical, but now he's an agent. I mean, literally, if Ryan Gilbert said right now he's a player agent for the portal, he's a player agent.
Right.
It's insanity. And plus, on top of that, NFL agents take like 3 to 5% of those contracts. A lot of these portal guys are taking 20%. So if a kid gets $1 million, he gets 200,000. Brian, this is insanity. This is ridiculous. And the scam artists see a door wide open.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Again, you got to put some safeguards in place if you care at all. I know what everybody's going to say. Well, they are allowing kids to get paid. That shows they care about them. Well, no, it doesn't. That doesn't mean just that. I mean, because, again, professionals have agents. These are grown men,
right?
And they have agents, and they make sure there are safeguards in there. So why wouldn't you do that with kids that aren't familiar with the situation at all and their families aren't familiar with the situation at all? Why wouldn't you put safeguards in for them as well? It's insane. But at the same time, I mean, I understand why they're there and I understand why they're necessary. But again, you got to put some safeguards in place. But to go back to the question, it's just, I don't think anybody's coming back. No. And here's why I say that. I think if you're Jerome Tang and staff, if anybody leaves, I like what Steve Sarkisian. Look, we don't have to like Texas, and trust me, I don't. But I love Steve Sarkisian. Look, you want to go transfer? I'll try to talk you out of it if I think that it's in your best interest. But if you leave, you're gone, and you can't come back. That's how I feel. The same way K-State should have that should just be the standard. Look, if I think that you should stay, I will try to talk you out of it. But at the end of the day, if your mind's made up, more power to you, good luck to you, but you cannot come back here. There's no coming back, because I tried to tell you, and I go, and that's the way I know that's, well, maybe it's being petty. Well, you know, a lot of this is being petty. A lot of kids leave being petty, or their families want you to leave being petty. At some point, you got to draw a line in the sand somewhere and say, this is what we're doing. Now, I mean, it works both ways, but at some point, that has to be the standard. So I don't think anybody is coming back. I love the question, though, but I don't think anybody's coming back, nor do I think K-State should take anybody back, because you made a conscious effort to leave because you didn't like something that was going on here. Well, what was that we couldn't talk it out to figure it out? Clearly, it was enough for you to decide you needed to leave. Well, okay, well, then that must mean it's a big problem and you got to go. So, okay.
Now, this comment comes from a regular, the serial killer. I don't know if this is BTK from prison. I doubt it. I doubt he could regularly be on our shows, but he claims to be a serial killer. Those recruits were mad there were no cookies in their hotel room. I'm going to tell you right now, the NCAA totally screwed K-State because of cookies. It's funny because they always put out a great spread. It was always impressive. They take photos of it.
Right.
And then the NCAA said, of all the things going on right now, we must stop the snacks. No more in-room snacks. It's insanity what's taking place. Let me pop up Doug here, who understands me quite well. I'll just let people read that. If you're listening, it's a comment on my ability in college. our guy Canelio shows up here. If I can get it to come up here. Oh, yeah, there we go. Is it just too simple to say Coach Tang is still learning on the job during an unprecedented time in college athletics with NIL and the portal?
I don't think so.
Everyone's at the same level of learning.
I wouldn't say that Jerome Tang's learning on the job. I don't think that's the case. Number one, the portal didn't just start. Number two, he's been dealing with it and was very successful at Baylor in recruiting in it. He's not just learning on the job here. Maybe losing some of these battles, but it isn't because he doesn't know what he's doing. He clearly knows. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. I think you got to do a better job of winning, of putting yourself in a position to win, but I don't think it's because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. Gils, your thoughts?
I mean, when you hit home runs in your first offseason and you had 11 spots to fill and you get Marquise Noel and Naquan Tomlin, Desi Sills, David Gasson, all these tremendous players, Cam Carter, these guys started on the Elite Eight team. They had an A-plus grade in the portal in that first offseason, and you're not going to get that year in, year out.
Right.
I get that. But at the same time, I think it gave fans, I don't want to say an unreasonable expectation, because that's, you know, Tang expects that every offseason. That's right. That's how he wants it to be. However, it's going to the Elite Eight with all those portal players in the first year, this is just kind of how it's maybe going to be some seasons. Now, you hope it's not like this every season where you're losing out on so many guys, but I think you guys mentioned it, and I agree that everybody's learning and adjusting with this NIL and portal stuff. It's not just Tang because he's a newer coach, right? This is his third off season now, right? He's had the time to learn, and you know, let alone the stuff on the court with the X's and O's of coaching, but just managing a program and being in control of that. He's had enough time to learn here. And so not to make any sort of excuses, but when you do so good in the portal in year one, I think, I don't know if fans or Tang or, you know, that's not to be expected, or I guess that's expected from Tang, but is it reasonable to expect that if you're a fan a year in and year out for them to get those guys? Right. So maybe that's one of the bigger problems here. And we talk about the Keontae Johnson stuff that, you know, that popped up in August is when he committed before that season. And so maybe they know, they were too patient last offseason. Now maybe here they're too giddy. I don't know. I'm spitballing here. But so to answer the question, though, you know, he's not still learning on the job. I think it's by and large a pretty level playing field, especially with the good NIL stuff that's going on right now with K-State.
Yeah.
Thanks for the super chat there, Canelio. If you're watching on YouTube, you too can jump to the front of the line with a super chat and show us some support. Much appreciated. Look, guys, let's recap that first season, that first recruiting class. Marquise Noel was inherited, but we give Jerome Tang and his coaches tremendous amount of credit for bringing out of Noel what we didn't see under the previous staff. They turned him into an outstanding player. But Keyonte Johnson was a gift from above. You have an elite player with a health question that drops into the portal as a grad transfer, and boom, you go get him. Last year, I think they expected another manna from heaven recruit to pop in there they could nab in August, and it didn't happen. I'd rather they get this down to one spot before August and a pretty solid roster, but. Gills, where are we at now? How many is it at five openings on the staff?
Yeah.
Five?
Yep.
On the roster? That's crazy, guys, on a 13-man roster to have five openings still when you've already brought in a few guys. It's alarming, but let's see if they can right this ship before it's just too late. I saw a tweet that said all but 36 of the top 200 players to go into the portal are.
You got that right committed. There.
Oh.
Here it is.
What? I don't see it there. Oh, thank you. I'm having problems reading all the comments, actually. Just 36 of the 200 transfers in the, what is that, Evan Maya rankings are still available, with a few likely to stay in the draft. Over half of the high major rosters have 2+ scholarships available. This is scary. I think all the high majors thought they could just empty out and reload with a bunch of guys coming up from lower levels that are going to be good. And guys, it's not working. The math did not work. And unfortunately, if you're playing musical chairs, the music stopped and K-State didn't get a chair for some very important players. I'm full of analogies today.
I think I got one. I mean, they were on a game show, right? And they had door number A, which was RJ Jones, Day-Day Ames, Kaluma, like, get these guys to stay. You know what you're getting. In their eyes, maybe their ceiling wasn't as high as they wanted it to be, but you know what you're getting. They've been in your practice facility. They're your guys. You recruited them. You've got them on your roster. Most people, especially with where we are now, would keep that, would be happy with door A after losing out on these guys. Obviously, K-State went with door number B, which was closed, and you don't know what's behind it. It could be the number one prospect in the portal, or it could be nothing. Now, obviously K-State's gotten some players, but certainly not the types of players they wanted. And so in hindsight, it's 2020. Absolutely. I think that having the safety of RJ and Day-Day, and you go down a line of those guys that you know what you're getting, right? And they can grow and get better in your program. But obviously it's a different direction. There are still players in the portal, right? There's not a ton of them out there. There are still some players out there that can make an impact. And so now it's crunch time. You miss out on some players. Is that the end of the world? No, there's still an opportunity to get those players that are out there, but they're dwindling. Those numbers are dropping. And so it's now or never for this staff to capitalize in the portal. You know, you lost out on not only those players that you brought to Manhattan on their visits, but you lost out on those players that were on your roster as well. And so now is when you have to capitalize. You can't just rely or bank on somebody popping up in July or August. There's still guys out there, but there's only a few of them. And so you've got to get out there and get those guys.
Here's an interesting comment from Joel. I have a hard time getting invested in college basketball, given the free agency nature of the sport nowadays. And I understand that, you know, as Coach Tang says, you should support the uniform, not just who's wearing it. I get that. But it'd be nice to know, if you know the people that are wearing the uniform, it's insanity. But it should be pointed out, no one planned it this way. This has just been an evolution of unintended consequences in some ways, that this has gotten so wild and out of control. While we cite the stat that so many players are taken in the top 200, I'd like to also say that there are a ton of players below that that are still looking, including Day Day and RJ, right? They still haven't found a school.
Correct.
So while
Jarrell as well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So while part of me says Brian's right, another part of me says maybe you need to re-recruit those guys and worry about two openings and try to hit home runs with those two openings. Because are you going to get better players at this point than those three that left you? Considering they know the system, as you said, Gills, considering they know their teammates, they know what to expect. I don't think RJ would come back, but I do think, you know, maybe Colbert and Day-Day would. Are they getting to that? They might be. I'm not sure where it's going to end up. It's a bizarre time. But I do want to say this. I spoke to a fairly prominent, well, let's put it this way. He's a good donor, but connected to very prominent donors. And he was present at a meeting with Jerome Tang, in which Coach Tang apparently said, if you give me X amount of dollars in NIL, I will get you to the Final Four. He got that number. And the donors are noticing there's not even close to a Final Four roster here. So we're seeing a little bit of a stirring in the masses, Big B. People are getting a little impatient, and probably for good reasons.
I mean, I guess I get their point, especially if he's going out there saying that. First of all, if you want to be technical, he didn't say he'd get him there next year. So yep. That's one thing if you want to be technical, but
yeah, you're right.
I get that side of it and being frustrated. At the same time, it's like, look at Kentucky. Look, I think we can all be honest and say Kansas State is not in the same stratosphere as far as basketball prestige as Kentucky. The last time Kentucky won a national championship was 2012. This is not something that you could just go out and win every year. That's not how this works. So for people to expect it and or to even be good to think something like that, even get to the Final Four. First of all, it takes some luck to be able to do that. Now you have to have the players, but it takes a whole lot of luck to be able to do it. Just look at North Carolina last year. They were a top five team all year long. Next thing you know, they get beaten around to 16. And so I get that aspect of it, but I don't think fans should be upset. I mean, look where we were before he got here. You know, do you want to go back to that? I think that's something that people have to just kind of understand. Now, I know the first thing they're going to say, well, hold on, Brian, that we were in the NIT this year. I get that. I 100% get that. But I think the team can be better. Do I think we have to give them a ton of time? No. But I think just saying, okay, one off season, you don't get it done, you're out of here, or we're done, or we're upset, or anything like that. I think patience has to be a little bit of a virtue. Sometimes you have to build something. Now, going in the portal every year, I think all of us have been on here just saying going in the portal every year is not sustainable. You got to get some guys. You got to kind of develop some guys and get some high school players in here and keep them here, you know, so that this kind of stuff doesn't happen. But I just don't know, fellas. I don't know that you can do that in this day and age when guys can just leave whenever they want to, as many times as they want to. I don't know that you can say, I got five freshmen and I'm keeping four of them. I think those days are just over. I really do.
I agree. Having a bunch of freshmen on your roster will get you fired, particularly if you got to play them
quickly.
But if you don't play them, then they're
going to leave.
It's a crazy situation. So while we're preaching patience, the kids got to show some too. Out of all those, though, I find Jarrell Colbert baffling because he's proven he can start in the Big 12. Now, was he a great starter? Yeah, pretty average. But he would do some things that, if he starts stringing those together in a more consistent way, would be exactly what K-State is seeking in the portal.
Correct.
So sometimes breaking up with your girlfriend because the cute girl winked at you, I'm just full of analogies, isn't a good idea. The girlfriend is sticking with you. So I don't know, man. This is so frustrating to try to sort this out on a almost daily basis right now. as the portal is just so active. Let's take a break right now and try to regroup. And while we're gone, give us some questions. Let's move on to another topic, maybe some football or something else. There's only so many times we can beat this horse, and it's not even dead yet. There's another analogy. We'll be right back.
At Synergy Financial Partners, the mission is to change the way Americans plan for their financial future. Synergy doesn't just offer you a financial plan. At Synergy, the goal is to help you find your best financial future. Learn more at synergyfinancial.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to the show. Let's head back to the studio.
This is the K-State Insider, sponsored by Synergy Financial Partners. We appreciate their ongoing support of this show and the Big 12 Insiders. Real quick, Big B, what you got cooking for tomorrow? I think you had a pretty good show in the Big 12, don't you?
Yeah, we got BYU that's coming up tomorrow. We're going to talk a little football, may get into, you know, their new basketball hire and what they're doing out there. But, you know, second time we've had BYU on, so should be fun to tap into what's going on out there and the rivalry that they have with Utah and all that good stuff. So it should be a fun show.
Make sure you're following the Big 12 Insiders channel and checking it out in this time slot, 1 p.m. Tuesday through Friday. We can only go once a week because that's me. I don't want to work that hard. But Big B hosts that one. It's a really great show. I enjoy it quite a bit. Guys, let me just get back to the comments here. See if we got anything else here. I can't read, guys. I don't have my glasses on. I wish I could make our comments bigger. Joe Klatt had a video today talking about Utah is going to walk through the Big 12 in football. Basically, he didn't quite say that, but he said they're clearly the best, and we will soon find out that Utah has the best home atmosphere toughest place to play in the Big 12. Now, I have tremendous respect for Joel Klatt. I think he's one of the best in the business, but I think he's buying into the conversation that the big media is often having, that what's left in the Big 12 isn't that tough. Now, Texas did win it last year after a long break, but, you know, before that, it's been K-State and, you know, Baylor, and there's been other schools that rise up. I am intrigued to see how Utah fits into this conference. He might be right, because if you look through Utah's schedule, Big B, they can do some damage on that schedule. They really got a favorable schedule out of the Big 12. I'm confident they'll be in the championship game. I really am. I'm more confident about Utah than Kansas State because of schedules. Right. But I do say this. If you think I've never been to Utah Stadium, I'm sure it's loud and rowdy, but that's what I think Utah fans are going to like. They're not the outlier anymore in that. You go to Stillwater, you go to Ames, you go to Manhattan. Lawrence is turning into that. TCU fans are, you know, hostile. It gets nasty at times, but they're great fans. Baylor, when they're rolling, shows up. At West Virginia, they're fueled up. They're ready to go.
Hi, Daphne.
Yeah, that was Daphne. It's going to be really fun. But just to give them the crown as best team and best crowd, I thought was a little too early.
It is. And I think you're right, Fitz. I think he's getting caught up in in the whole, well, Utah's this, and they've dominated the Pac-12 over the last few years, and they have.
Yep.
I go, but you can't tell me that if you put Oklahoma State, a Kansas State, a Baylor, or not so much Baylor last year or last couple of years, but you put it, or a TCU, you put somebody else in there that they couldn't do the same thing. You're kidding yourself. I go, so let's not act like that Utah is just head and shoulders better than everybody else that they're coming into this conference. That's not the case. Now, are they good? 100%. They are absolutely very good. But I just don't want to hear the fact that they're just going to come and run roughshod over the conference like that. I don't believe that's the case. But they do have a favorable schedule. It'll be a little bit challenging. They go to Oklahoma State. They go to a couple of places. So it'll be a little bit challenging, but not as much as some of the others. But, yeah, Joel Klatt, I think he gets caught up a little bit in the media thing. I don't think Joel Klatt still is over. I think he gets a little butt hurt. Let's be honest. He went to Colorado. And that was when Colorado was kind of rolling, and Kansas State was just better than Colorado, and they just can't deal with it. They've never been able to deal with how Kansas State just went right past them in football. They've never been able to deal with that. I think it might be a little bit of that. But you're right. It's also OU and Texas are leaving without doing the research. And Joel Klatt's better than that. You're right, Fitz. Right. He should know that Texas hadn't won the title in the Big 12 forever before last season. That Oklahoma had won it a few times, but they were not they're the dominant team in the Big 12. That was not the case. I go, so without doing the actual research, he said something, and now I think it might be a thing of, oh, wow, I put this out there. Now I'm doing the research because I'm seeing these comments. Maybe I should have done a little bit more research.
Gil, do you think he's just hyping Big 12, trying to get some heat going because they're going to be running some Friday games and picking up more Big 12 games than in the past?
You think Yormark told him to say this? Is what you're saying,
right? No, I think his bosses want him to heat things up a little bit to get a little fire in the Big 12 to make sure they got viewership.
Yeah. I think Big B, I was going to mention just the door being open, so to speak, in the Big 12, and that's kind of some general discussions we've had over the last couple of years with realignment. So that's been said in Manhattan, but that can also be said for Utah. And I'm sure that fan base and stuff is viewing that in the same light. And so, yeah, the door is open. Like this year, the Big 12 is open for Utah to come in and make some damage and win the league, but it's also open for Kansas State, all those teams up near the top. So Utah's not alone there. While the schedule is easier, who's to say K-State or any of those are teams that are already in the conference can't go out and compete as well. And so I think that, guys, it's conversation about the Big 12, right? Like his comments got us talking about it. That's publicity. Yep. That's good. We'll take it. Right.
Right. Big B, find us something else down there in the chat if you can. And I'll say this, that I'm excited about the new Big 12. I'm very fired up because none of us really know how these pieces will fit together. And I think now schools like BYU, which is supposed to be way down, I don't necessarily buy that, but UCF, Cincinnati, they now have a feel for this conference. And Houston under Willie Fritz, I think, is going to get very good very quickly. In fact, you can argue that they had the talent to be much better last year and just didn't get it done. So now you put this within a 2-year period, half of this conference is new. That's a major realignment of the forces in this conference. And I kind of want to get to sorting it out. I'm anxious. We're going to spend 3 more months, 4 more months talking until we start playing football. I'm going to be ready for the football. Hell, I am ready for the football.
Absolutely.
We'll see how heated this gets over the summer, but it could be very entertaining.
Yeah. I've got basketball fatigue already just because it goes so long. I mean, starting in October, this is May. That's why I'm not an NBA fan because I'm like, give me a break, man. How long is this season going to go on? So, but I did find a question here. I was on it, but it was talking about Kansas State, what do we look like at defensive tackle? Yeah, there we go. From our man Canelio. Said, are you satisfied with how the defensive tackle spot shook out this offseason? I think the addition, and I can't remember his name right now, the addition that we just got at defensive tackle,
Malcolm Crowder.
I feel better now that we have him back in the fold than what it was before. It's not that I was disappointed, but I thought there was some meat on the bone that we could have gnawed off there to get some more guys in. And I look, you can never have enough defensive tackles. So if you ask me as an old offensive lineman, I'm always going to tell you I'm never satisfied, because I think you could have 100 of them on your team and we don't have enough, you know? So, but that's just me. But at the same time, I think the way that it shook out, I think adding that piece, I think I feel better about it. And I think the coaching staff feels better about it too.
Now, here's what's crazy about the transfer portal. The reason K-State needed another defensive tackle was Malcolm Alcorn Crowder did not qualify academically.
Right.
So he gets that taken care of out of Butler and decides, hey, I'll just go back to K-State. And people are like, well, do they still need another defensive tackle? I'm like, no. But they got the guy that was originally good enough, but now is not enough. That's how fans are with the portal. Can we get more? You know, K-State still wants another linebacker, a backup quarterback that they're kind of struggling with. It's a hard sell. It's a hard sell to come in and be a backup if you're a veteran. And we saw the Utah State quarterback pick Tulsa. He kind of snuck into K-State for a visit. We thought that might be the guy, but he wants to start. I think Utah State to Tulsa is a pretty parallel move. I'm a little surprised, but we'll see what shakes out there. They got their running back. They still want an offensive lineman. They're not worried about the Arkansas guy that also committed elsewhere to SMU. He wasn't like – they wanted someone that could play three or four positions, and he was pretty much a left tackle. So they're still working away in there. We'll see here. Let's see here. I'm going to go back to the serial killer because he always murders it. There could be a really logjam of teams at the top of the Big 12. I got a head shake from Gills. Football this year, tiebreakers will decide. Oh no, he brought up tiebreakers. Mm. He went to the tiebreakers.
Mm, Yeah, that's. I mean, there could be a logjam. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I think that's a good thing. I know people are going to look and think, well, you need a lead dog. I just don't think the conference needs that in football. I don't think we do. And I know we've covered it on the Big 12 Insider several times, and we'll cover it here again, is that the Big 12 as a whole, basketball has its blue bloods. It just does. Yep. And you're not going to change blue blood status over the next 10 to 15, 20, 25 years. That's not going to happen. That's not how it works. Nope. It's especially that case in football. You're just not going to change who the blue bloods are. But what you can do is become a player on the scene. And I think that's what the Big 12 has an opportunity to have, multiple players be on the scene. And having multiple people be part of that, that makes you strong as a conference, is that every 3 to 4 years, somebody new is the top dog and they stay there for a while. Then somebody new, and it just recycles. The strength is in numbers. Hey, cliche. I'm catching on, Fitz. I'm catching on. But strength is in numbers. And the Big 12, in football, that's what it needs to be. The strength needs to be in the numbers, not just to have the one program out there. Because let's just be honest, we don't have that national program. We just don't. But you can have a bunch of teams in there that constantly cause trouble, cause havoc. But the last thing I'll say, and I know this is long-winded, but go win a playoff game.
Right.
What you want, the respect that you deserve, go win some playoff games. Then we will start getting respect. And then when you do win, don't turn around and get beat 65-7. No, don't go do that.
Don't do that.
So that's how you earn some stuff. Go win it.
You bring up something that Joel Klatt brought up, and he was using Utah, of course, as his point of reference, that if they get in the playoff, they'll get a bye as a league champion. They'll be in the top four seeds. And that just makes you look good. Well, that's true of anyone in the Big 12.
Correct.
But the Big 12 is going to automatically get that bye. It's not earned. It's earned by being a champion, but it's not like that doesn't mean you're literally one of the top four teams.
No.
That's up to you to prove. Correct. And being a top four team and then losing in your first game is a good way to disprove it.
Yep.
You need to go out on the field and beat some people and take care of business and be competitive. And I think there's some teams in the Big 12 that are capable of that. And I think now we're seeing some recruiting upticks from programs that look, they're still not, there's nobody in the conference out there with the five stars lined up. And that's very helpful, but these are developmental programs for the most part, and they develop a lot of talent and they can compete at a very high level because they also develop teams. And that's really where the Big 12, you're right, Big B, has to make its noise in the postseason. Because at some point in every football or basketball schedule, when you turn to the conference schedule, it's very incestuous. It's,
yeah,
you know, if you're perceived as good, Big 12 basketball, then it's great. Look at them. They're all beating up each other. It's great. If you're perceived to be bad, maybe in Big 12 football, not as competitive, and they start beating each other up, oh, look how horrible they are. Nobody can win. So that's just the way the game played. And the only way to change it is go beat people in the non-conference and go beat people in the postseason.
Right. And the thing about that is, and I know K-State and especially myself, you know how I feel about Kansas, but the reason that people believe that the Big 12 is so good, look, they've won some national titles, but they got a national brand, and it's KU. And as much as we hate to believe that, it's the truth. I go, people perceive the Big 12 to be good in basketball as a basketball conference because they have KU. Now, the perception now for the Big 12 in football isn't going to be as high because Texas and OU left. So you have to have a school go and do damage in the postseason. You just have to. It would be better if multiple teams went and did some damage in the postseason. Don't tell us that you're undefeated and then go get beat in the first game of the playoff every year. That's not going to do it. We don't want to hear it because you'll be ranked high, you'll keep getting beat, and after about 2 or 3 years, there'll be zero respect. The only way to get respect, you got to go earn it, and the only way you can earn it in college football, you got to do stuff in the postseason. It's just the way it works.
Okay, here's another one from Caitlin's back. This is the third one. Caitlin, you're 3 for 3 today. Congratulations. How do you feel about the new college football playoff? Seems to be more realistic for the ultimate best team to win it all. Yeah, I agree. Having to win 3 games over 2 is much more proving it for me. I think we're also going to see a little unexpected chaos.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see one of those top seeds look past someone because, hey, they're 2 or 3 seed. But again, for the Big 12, whether you get in 2 schools or 3 into this 12 team alignment, go win. We can talk about everything else that you want to do to improve your conference. But if the Big 12 really wants to improve itself, it's got to win. It's just, I mean, it's that simple. And if you lose, it's going to reinforce that image. But if you start winning, people will go, oh, maybe that was lucky. You do it again. Okay, maybe it takes a third time before people start buying in, particularly some of those people that can only see blue bloods, the sports writers who do their rankings based on places they want to visit, not who's the best football team. So that's something going on in the background there. Let's see here. I had something to add to that.
I can tie into basketball. Just I can argue with somebody all day long that the Big 12 was the best conference in America. There's so much stuff to back that up, in my opinion. I'm sure many agree. However, at the same time, what happened in the postseason?
You got it.
Big 12 choked. And so I can argue that all I want, but somebody's going to have that. And that's a fair argument that the games that matter most, the Big 12 factually just underperformed. And so I do think the Big 12 was great in basketball, but yeah, if you don't win in the postseason when it matters most, there's going to be those naysayers out there for sure.
Yeah. And it wasn't so much the Big 12 lost, you know, that they didn't have a team in the Final Four. It's who some of the Big 12 teams lost to and what round. Like the killer to me is BYU. BYU was a sleeper pick, not only by me, but a lot of people, to be really good, to go to the Sweet 16. And you get beat by Duquesne in a game that you literally got physically beat up the entire game. And that's a horrible look when you think about it and you're like, wow, how does that happen? Well, it did. I mean, it was just, Hey, and that, but that was kind of the thing on how you beat BYU all year. But that's what we're talking about in the Big 12. You can't lose those kinds of games and then go try to get respect. You know, you've got to go win that game. I don't care how bad you play. Your players are better than Duquesne. You have to be able to get beat. And on your part, Fitz, your point that you made earlier, there's going to be some one seeds that overlook teams in football. It's exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be some of these upsets. I think it's going to be more of where now we get more of the best team. I still believe it's going to have more of a March Madness atmosphere. Great. Just for what you said, Fitz, because I think there's going to be some upsets in this thing that teams are, we're going to think, how in the world did they lose this football game? And I think that's going to be the reason why. Now, usually in this kind of format, the best team usually wins. It's college. It's college kids. It's not professional. And I think people got to understand that a little bit more, is that when you're dealing in professional football, yeah, the best team usually wins. College, a lot more emotional. Things you can get mismatches at certain places where you can just ride that thing out all game long. And there's nothing you can do about it. So,
yep, I agree. Cornelio has a little something here to bring the dogs into the conversation. Bring Daphne to the sideline with a K doggy sweater on and be Bosco for a game. Ryan Gilbert, you're familiar with Daphne. How do you think that will go?
Unfortunately, I'm familiar with Daphne. If you like a dog barking at you 24/7, then that would be a tremendous. We'll have to text Scott over from Bosco Boys and see how he thinks of this, though, because that's his little idea. That's his little baby, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's his thing. And I think dude's better prepared for that. Dude loves people.
Yes.
Dude would be so happy to be out there. But we'll see how Scott feels about a poodle being Bosco, which is a black lab. Are you a favorite bringing back Bosco?
Oh, go ahead.
Gills, are you in favor of bringing back Bosco?
You know how old I am? I'm too young for this conversation.
Well, Bosco predates me. I mean, Bosco's old.
You're not that old then. Okay.
Yep.
I don't know. I'll let Big B answer this because I know nothing about Bosco, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me neither.
So
I'm just going to leave it at that. Good question, though, is that what are your guys' thoughts on NIL donors being able to choose a primary sport to put a majority of their donation towards? I love it to be where you can decide where your donation dollars go. I think that is – I don't know why you couldn't or shouldn't be able to do that 100% of the time. I think if I donate my money somewhere, I should be able to tell you where it goes. You can't decide. So that's just my personal opinion.
I agree, and I think it's particularly important for the Olympic sports. Is my camera glitching? It is for me.
I see you. You're good.
Yeah. But look, if you're a volleyball fan, women's basketball fan, baseball fan, and you donate them $500,000 to NIL, you want it to go to your sport. You don't want football just automatically getting that money.
Right.
And again, if donors hop in on, you know, volleyball as an example and start really saying, hey, let's build up the NIL for volleyball, I think K-State could get very good very quickly in that sport. So I think the NIL hasn't had the same impact. A lot of people said that the rich will get richer. I think we're seeing more equality across the college sports landscape because other teams that may not have that huge tradition can close the gap with the NIL. And I just wish it was true NIL with your name, image, and likeness, not, hey, here's $500,000, come play, which is not in the spirit of the rule.
No.
Okay, let's take our second break
here. For the longest time, I thought Pat Bosco was the whole idea behind Bosco's Boys. So that's how little I know about Bosco. Anyways.
It is interesting that one of the most prominent administrators at K-State was named Bosco, but they're spelled differently.
Right.
But I mean, when it came to recruiting students, he was the dog. He got after it. Here's another break coming at you from our partners at Synergy Financial Partners. We'll be right back to wrap up this edition of the K-State Insiders.
At Synergy Financial Partners, the vision is to build the world's largest consumer financial education and empowerment company. Synergy doesn't just offer you a financial plan. At Synergy, the goal is to help you find your best financial future. Learn more at synergyfinancial.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the show. Let's head back to the studio.
There we go. We brought the kids in. You can't really see them, but there they are. That's dude's legs. I really thought it was going to be in the middle there, not the horizontal one. But that's it. That's how excited these dogs are over this show. As Daphne in the foreground, dude back there, those are the mutts. Guys, the transfer portal is such a wild unknown, and it seems to change from year to year. If you go ask for X amount of dollars based on last year's assumption that this would make you competitive, the market outgrows you. And I think that's in some ways happening. But again, as Ryan Gilbert said earlier in the show, they're not losing players because they're not competitive in the NIL space. It's something else going on. And Big B, it's going to keep going on until they figure out what it is and change it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you just got to figure it out. Like I said, it's not the money. I don't know what it is, guys. I really don't, because I feel like Gil said it earlier. We got the facilities. The coaching staff knows what the hell they're doing. You play in the best conference in America. At some point, some things got to change. I kind of equated it to, you know, for a long time, people wouldn't come to Dallas, like the Dallas Mavericks, and play. I'm like, why is it that you don't want to come to Dallas? I'm like, you have no state income tax. It's a great city. They got good food. You're not far. You can fly anywhere to the in the country. You can get there within 2.5 hours. I'm like, what's wrong with being in Dallas? But yet they couldn't get free agents. So they got to figure something out. I don't know what it is, but it's like I've said, and I said it at the beginning, sometimes you live in the portal and you die in the portal. And yep, this is one of those cases where it's just not going great right now.
Yep.
One name that we haven't mentioned at all in this show is Doug McDaniel, right? Like, yeah, we've got to give credit where it's due. He's a dude. K-State got him in on his visit, and that was it. It was a done deal. He didn't flirt with other schools after that. He was a Wildcat. And so we can criticize the staff all we want. I think rightfully so, that they're missing out on these guys, and after they visit, they can't lock them down. But Doug right. McDaniel's a big-time dude, and so, you know, they've got to go out and get more dudes. Absolutely. They need right. some more dudes after the departures from last season's roster with Ames and Jones and stuff. But you know, they've gotten, you know, Housen can shoot it. You know, Bay Falls got some potential in him. And so they've got guys that CJ Jones, again, he's a St. Louis guy with a nice tie to Buddy Rich. And so, you know, it's frustrating to see K-State losing out on these guys. And I get it 100,000,000%. That's what most of this show has been about. K-State staff needs to be better. Absolutely. However, give credit where it's due. It could be a lot worse. I know it's been frustrating the last 24 hours, but Doug McDaniel specifically, that's an exciting player that I would, you know, he's going to be a starter for this team. I know Michigan wasn't great last season, but he's coming from a power conference. And so, you know, give credit where it's due. It hasn't been great, but K-State staff, it could be worse, guys. It could be worse.
Let me just ask this question real quick, Fitz. I apologize.
You're right.
So Ryan, let me ask, and let me just pose this to both of you. Obviously, K-State's going to have a roster. People are panicking that, oh, we're only going to have eight guys. No, they'll eventually have a team. But let's just say this is as good as it gets, what we have right this very second, that the rest of the guys are roster fillers. And I'm not trying to disrespect anybody and say that's what's going to happen, but let's just say, hypothetically, that is what happens. Is K-State as good as last year?
Nope.
Can they have a better team as last year? Because I'm under the same impression that it's not. I know a lot of people have said, oh, well, they've replaced them, they're going to be better. And I'm like, no, they're not as good as last year. So that's just me. That's what I think. I don't think they are.
Well, I agree. I mean, you know, Kaluma is a big part of this.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they can get him back. I think they might be to the point where they're going to make sure they do if he doesn't stay in the NBA draft. But it's, man, it's not going well, Gills, but they still got some time. If you want to be the optimist, there are still players. And plus, it has been noted that a lot of the players that are committed out of the portal are still recruitable. They're not in class. I mean, we saw it last year with a couple guys that joined K-State late who had been at a program briefly and decided, this ain't for me, and got out of that program. We'll see if K-State can pull some more magic. I'm still of the belief that they can go find some dudes, maybe not the main dudes that they wanted. Maybe they won't be as good as they dreamed of, but I think they can certainly improve over last year.
Sure. To back up your point, Will McNair went on the overseas trip with Providence, right? So, they're still going to be guys out there that, okay, Will McNair wanted to start at Providence and that somehow fell through. He wants to transfer out. That's going to happen. There's going to be guys out there. But Big B, to your point, my answer would be I would rather have RJ Jones, Day-Day Ames, Arthur Kaluma, and Jerrell Colbert. I'd rather have them still be on the roster than where K-State's at right now. Now, a month ago or even a couple weeks ago, you don't know where it's going to go. You just don't. So hindsight's obviously 20/20. But as of right now, you know, K-State would have been in a much better spot with the returners that it had. And so right now, if the season were to start today and they just got fillers, like you mentioned in this hypothetical, K-State's not going to get past the first round of the NIT. I'd be surprised. For as good as some, you know, Doug McDaniel, and I'm happy David Gasson's back. Like, they've got some players, absolutely. But no, you've got to go out and get more guys from the portal. This, you know, what they have right now, I love Doug McDaniel. They've got dudes, but they don't have enough dudes, right? I think they'd be in a much better spot with the solid, safe options of Jones and Rich and, or excuse me, Jones and Ames and all those guys that left.
Yep. I agree. It's been a frustrating process. Maybe some of those guys will end up coming back, but I have a feeling that will not happen. But we will be back next week, maybe with Glenn Kinley. Our hair-to-head ratio was seriously out of a whack here. We got one head of hair and three dudes. Well, four dudes if you count the dog. That's it for the Insiders. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.